Well, I invite you to find your copy of God's Word and turn to Matthew chapter 25. I want to mention before we move in today's message, if you were not here last week, we handed out a little devotional guide called 40. You're invited to on a 40-day spiritual journey to a more generous life. I believe that every one of us in this room wants to be generous. I really believe that. And so this is like a little devotional guide, and we have some still from last week. So if you didn't get yours, you can swing by on your way out. There'll be some men at the door, and you can pick that up. And you don't have to catch up. Just start. Let today be day one, you know. And just have an experience. Have a journey where God will speak with you over the next 40 days about the privilege of being generous and being a steward and managing His resources well. So Matthew chapter 25 is where we're going to begin today in verse 14. I want to tell you about a story that I read, and I'll just read it. I think would be the best way to do it. This is a story of a woman who had finished her shopping, and she returned to her car. She was actually an older lady, a senior adult. I don't know exactly how old, but a senior adult lady. She finished her shopping. She returned to her car to find four men inside her car. She dropped her shopping bags, drew a handgun from her purse, and with a forceful but shaky voice, she said, "I have a gun and I know how to use it. Get out of the car." Go, lady, you know? It's like, yes. Those men didn't wait for a second invitation. They got out of the car and they ran like crazy. The woman, understandably shaken, she quickly loaded her shopping bags and got into the car. She just wanted to get out of there as fast as she could. But no matter how hard she tried, she could not get the key into the ignition. Then it hit her. It wasn't her car. She looked, and indeed, her car was parked four or five spaces away. This one just looked like hers. So she got out. She looked around to see if the men were near. They weren't. She loaded the bags into her own car and drove to the police station to turn herself in. The desk sergeant, after hearing her story, nearly fell out of his chair laughing. He pointed to the other end of the counter. There were four men there reporting a carjacking. They were reporting this carjacking by a woman with glasses and curly white hair, less than 5 feet tall, and carrying a big handgun. No charges were filed. Isn't that hilarious? It wasn't her car. Here's the thing, though. She got out of that car, got her groceries, and she went four or five spaces down to the correct car, but it still wasn't her car. Because you see, everything that we have isn't really ours at all. It's God's. And that's a huge underlying principle of not only financial freedom, but freedom as we live and follow the Lord Jesus. We're talking today about a really important life principle, or we could call it a kingdom principle, that affects everything about everything in our life. We connect it to financial freedom, but it's really connected to so much. Last week I talked about this, why do we want to be financially free? What does it really mean? What does it mean to be financially free? And I really want us to hold on to these four things. So I just repeated it. To be financially free means to be free to be self-sufficient. We all want that. I want to be self-sufficient. I want to take care of myself. I really do. I think that's important. I don't want the government to have to take care of me. I don't want my kids to have to take care of me. I want to be self-sufficient. I realize God takes care of me. I understand that. But I want to be responsible. Don't we want to be responsible? I want to be free to be prepared. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. My car may break down. I mean, who knows what's going to happen? I want to be free so that when stuff happens, I don't go in a tailspin. You know what I'm saying? I want to be free to be missional. I believe that Christians want this. We want to be missional. We want to go out and tell the world about Jesus. I want to be able to give to mission needs, and I want to be a part of what God's doing in the world. I want to go on mission trips, and I want to do things that honors the Lord. And we want to be free to be generous, just to bless people, free to be generous. So we're talking about financial freedom over these weeks, and I hope that we'll hold on to these four things. I'm sure that I'll mention it again. Who knows? I may think of a fifth one. But these four things, I think, are a good reason to be financially free in our life. Now, today I want us to consider a parable that you're probably quite familiar with. It's found in Matthew chapter 25. We call it a parable. It's a story. Jesus, oftentimes in his ministry, he would tell stories to make a theological point, a truth. We all do that. I do that. I tell stories, and my stories have a point. I'm trying to relate something, a truth or a fact, a kingdom idea. And so he does that throughout the New Testament. You see several different stories. And in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, he starts this story out by saying, again, it will be like, and then he's going to tell us the story. It's kind of like saying, hey, you remember the one about, so he's going to tell the story. But now notice how he starts this thing out. First of all, he says, again, so you know he's connecting it to the story that he just told. So we could open up our scriptures and read that story and connect the two. It will be like, so what does he mean, it? What is it? Well, if you read the previous passage, you see he's telling a story about kingdom, about being kingdom people, about what the kingdom of God is really like. Now, whenever Jesus tells a story about the kingdom of God, he's not talking about heaven. We have this idea to connect kingdom to geography. Like, here's this place, heaven, called the kingdom of God. There is a place called heaven, and it is the kingdom of God. But whenever Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, he's not talking about a place. He's talking about the rule of God in our lives. So he says, here's what the rule of God in your life looks like. And then he tells a story. So let's not misconstrue this idea of the kingdom of God like Jesus is about to tell us a story about what we can expect in heaven. No, he's saying, here's what it's like to live like kingdom people. And then he tells the story. So he's going to tell us this story beginning in verse 14. Here's what it's like to be kingdom people. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. Now, depending on what translation you're reading, a lot of the original translations would say something like 5 talents or 2 talents. We think of talents like being able to sing or something like that, but that's not true. A talent is a measurement of money back in these days. So I chose to read this from the New International Version today because it sort of puts it into the context. It's not the ability to be able to do something amazing, but it's money. So imagine 5 bags of gold, 2 bags of gold. To the other, he gave 1 bag of gold, and then the master went out on his journey. Now, if you read the whole thing, you know that the servant with the 5 bags, the scripture says, put his money to work. The one with the 5 bags put his money to work. We don't know exactly what he did. Somehow he invested it. Maybe he went out and, I don't know what he did, bought some things and sold it. But somehow he turned that 5 bags of gold into 5 more bags. So he doubled the money for the master. The servant with the 2 bags did the same thing. We don't know what he did. It doesn't really matter. But he somehow invested and he turned the 2 bags of gold into 4 bags of gold. The servant with the 1 bag, however, hid his bag in the ground. All right, down in verse 19, the scripture says, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Isn't that a great statement? Great job. Great job. I've given you a few things. I'm going to give you a lot of things. Just enjoy the fellowship and the relationship we have together. Well, the same response was given to the servant with the 2 bags because he came back and he said, Master, I have 4. So the master said, well done. Well, down in verse 24, the man who had received 1 bag of gold came Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's an interesting story. There's a lot to the story. There's stuff in between the lines, I think, that we can pull from this story. But I want us to see several things about managing the master's resources. Actually, the Bible word is steward, and we're going to talk about that this morning, being a steward. You see, a steward is one who manages other people's resources. So a steward, first of all, notice on your notes, a steward must be understanding. And I don't mean we have to be an understanding person. I mean, there's some things we need to understand. And I wanted to highlight this because last week I said there are four key beliefs to this idea about financial freedom. And I mentioned three of those beliefs. Here's the first one. God owns everything I have. Everything I have belongs to God. So it's not mine. It all belongs to God. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. That's belief number one. God owns everything I have. Here's belief number two. God controls everything in my life. I really can trust God to be in charge. He is God. He's sovereign king over all that there is. I can trust him. Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. He is in charge. Belief number three we talked about last week. God provides everything I need. Isn't that awesome? God is the need meter of my life. I'm not. I can't. But God can. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Now today we're going to talk about belief number four. I am a manager of all of God's resources. That's my role. That's my job. Everything I have belongs to God, but I am a manager of God's resources. Again, in verse 14 of Matthew 25, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. You see, to be a steward means to be a manager. So we are a manager of God's things. You know, if you go to a nice hotel and there's a guy that meets you at the door and he's going to carry your luggage, we call him a steward. It's not his luggage, it's your luggage, but he's going to take care of your luggage and he's going to get it to the room for you. We are stewards. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, what do you have that you did not receive? And if you did not receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? You see what God is saying? Everything we have, God gave it to us. We didn't do it. We're not all that, you know? We think we are sometimes, but we're not. Everything we have is God's. And he's entrusted it to us. That makes us managers. So we need to understand this because this is like bedrock stuff. This is like foundation stuff to life. Everything that I have, whatever it is I'm going to do today with whatever I have, it's God's stuff. And so I got to manage it well. I need to take care of it. I need to do the right thing with it. So we need to understand those things. Notice the second thing. A steward must be faithful. That's really the underlying message of this story that Jesus told. These servants were entrusted with the resources of the master, and they were supposed to be faithful with it. Two of them were. One of them wasn't. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. The scripture says it's required of us that we do that. Well, I mean, why would we not? If you are a manager in some sort of business out in the business world, it is your responsibility to be faithful to the CEO or the stockholders or whoever it is, your boss, whoever it is. You got to be faithful. You got to be faithful in all that you do. Now, in this parable, we have the two servants who were faithful, but notice the third servant was called wicked and lazy. Now, we'll get back to that in a second, but the third one was not faithful. He was unfaithful. Now, if you were to look up the word faithful in the dictionary, you would see three words, maybe more depending on which dictionary you look at. But these three words came up in the dictionary I looked at. loyal, constant, steadfast. Loyal, constant, steadfast. You see, the unfaithful servant was called wicked. His actions did not reflect loyalty to the master. Instead, they reflected something else. You see, as a steward, my actions should be in line with the nature of God. The things that I do should reflect His nature, should reflect His character, His purposes, His goals. My goals should reflect the goals of the master. So if I'm going to be faithful, it means I'm going to be constant. Another word we could use is consistent. I'm going to be constantly living my life, understanding every day as I get up, this is an opportunity to serve my master. This is an opportunity to live out God's purpose in the world. These moments that I live, they're not my moments, they're God's moments. These material resources that I have, they're not my resources, they're God's resources. The opportunities I've had in my life that shaped me, that's taught me, the things that I've learned through experience or study or reading or the talents that I have or whatever, they're not mine, they're God's. And I am to manage those. This is my opportunity to step in the world as a faithful servant of God and use whatever it is that I have to reflect His purpose and His goals in the world. Constantly. Consistently. I want to challenge us to rethink how we live. We're so compartmental, and I just think that's such a flaw in our culture today. And it's getting worse. We have this compartment over here called church. We might call it spiritual or religious, and that's one of the compartments, and it's one of many. But we understand that's not a biblical concept. You see, we are spiritual beings. It's who we are. It's how we relate to God. And so you realize every moment of our day, 24/7, is a spiritual experience. So I live my life for the glory of the Lord God 24/7. And I am to take all the resources that I have, whatever I'm talking about, whether it's time or talents, abilities, gifts, resources, money, whatever I have, and all of it belongs to God. I am to be faithful with that. Now, we have a tendency sometimes in church world to come to the place where we think being faithful means I am to take 10% of what I have and give that to God. And as long as I'm doing that, which I always tell you most Christians don't do that, but as long as I'm doing that, we're good. The 90% doesn't really matter. I can go do whatever I want with the 90% because I'm tithing. I want us to understand God is not just concerned about 10% of our income. He wants us to think about 100%. Everything that I do, with everything that I have, should reflect the goals and purposes and mission of our Heavenly Father consistently every day. Loyal, constant, steadfast, firm, unwavering. I am not going to waver. I am going to be faithful. I'm going to stay to the task. I'm going to serve God well. I'm going to not only start out well, I'm going to finish well. You know, some of us start well, but finishing is another story. You know, I used to be a long-distance runner, and I remember one race that I ran in many years ago. It was really cold. It was up in almost in Tennessee somewhere, and it was really cold. It was like 27 degrees, and so I had on my running shorts. I mean, you don't run, you run in shorts, you know. And so I had on my little running shorts, and I was freezing to death. And I had on a long john top and gloves and a little hat. Well, there was this guy that was running. And back in those days, I was a competitor. I was out there to win that race. And so, I mean, I was serious business. I mean, crazy serious business. Matter of fact, I was out of balance. But I was going to win that race. And so back then, I would evaluate the competition, and I would pick the ones that were the real contenders. I wouldn't worry about the rest. There was this one guy up there near the front acting like he was a contender, and he was running in blue jeans. Blue jeans. Now, I bet at that moment he was warmer than me. I passed him on about the third stride. Actually, he didn't make it past the first mile. See, some people start well. God wants you to start well. And you know how you start well? You give your life to Jesus. You come to the place where you understand God loves you so much, and he gave his life for you on a cross. He died for your sin so your sin could be forgiven and you could be a part of his family. We start by surrendering our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, by turning from our sin and turning to Jesus and say, Jesus, I can't do this. I give you my life because you can. You can do this. And I give you my life. I know you died for me. I know you rose again from the dead. I surrender my life to you. Please forgive me for my sin and come into my life to be my Lord and to be my Savior. We call that Christianity. That's how you start well. But God also wants us to finish well. He wants us to run well. He wants us to do well. And we do that by steadfastly, constantly, loyally being faithful to the Lord God. Consistent. God, you can depend on me. Put me in, coach. I want to do something for the kingdom. You can count on me. That's the idea. It's really all about God. It's not about me. See, God's the master. I'm not. I don't know if you saw this. This actually created a little bit of a stir. This is about a year ago. Actually, it's February 14th, 2017. Kellyanne Conway put out this little tweet. She said, I serve at the pleasure of the president. His message is my message. His goals are my goals. Now, for some reason that created a stir. I'm not sure why. That idea, I serve at the pleasure of the president, it was first said in the 1700s, so it's been around for a long time. That's not a new thing. When you work for the president, he's the boss, you serve at the pleasure of the president. But, you know, I read that. When I heard that, I thought, you know, that's what it should be for us as kingdom people. I serve at the pleasure of Almighty God. His message is my message. His goals are my goals. I want to be a faithful steward. So, a steward must be faithful, but also a steward must be submissive. That's what we also see in this story. They had to be submissive to the master. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, submit yourselves then to God. I mean, it's really a biblical principle all through the scripture, and we see it repeated in a variety of places. That means we submit our possessions to God, to his purpose, to his ways, to his desires. We're submitting everything to him. Submission has this beginning point of Christianity, but it continues on as we live throughout our life. Now, in this parable, we see that it is our responsibility to make sure that we are managing God's possessions in a way that reflects him, because we're submitting to him. Being a steward, I'm submitting to God every day. So every day I have to say, God, I am submitting myself to you and to your lordship. I want us to understand that Christianity, we can't become a Christian unless we submit to the lordship of Christ in our life. Christianity is not just saying, I don't want to go to hell, I want to go to heaven. It's not that. It is submitting our lives to the lordship of Christ. Jesus, you are the boss, you are in charge, I surrender to you. But you know, it's critical that this submission be something we do every day. I know it's the beginning point of Christianity. I know that. But as a Christian, every day I've got to say, I surrender to you. I surrender all. You know the old hymn? All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. That's it. I surrender. Every day we gotta do that. Matthew 25, verse 27, back in our scripture, Jesus said to the unfaithful servant, he says, well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. You should have done this, but you didn't. You didn't submit your will and your ways to me, to my will and to my ways. You didn't do that. And there were consequences. Can you see in this story that God is a God of standards and high expectations? Now, I'm grateful that God is a God of grace and God is a great God of mercy. Aren't you grateful for that? You do understand that if that were not a part of God's character, we'd already be burning in hell for eternity. We all understand that. That's what we deserve. We deserve that. But because God is gracious and God is merciful, we're not in hell right now. If you're not a Christian, God's saying, look, you got an opportunity here to spend eternity with me. You got an opportunity because I'm a God of grace and I'm a God of mercy. But you know, sometimes we focus on the grace and mercy side, and we forget that God is a God of expectations as well, that God has standards, and he asks us and he expects us to follow them. Some of us may find ourselves like the third servant. We're in a really not living up to those expectations, those standards. And so if we're going to understand this idea about submission, we have to say, you know what? I'm not being submissive. I'm doing my own thing. I'm not doing God's thing. My life does not represent His purpose and goals in the world. And so our response to this really should be repentance, to say, God, I am so sorry that I've not been doing this, and I want to do it because You're the boss. I'm not. You're the master. I'm the servant. I'm a steward. You're the owner. So I want to submit to You. A steward is going to be submissive. Here's the final thing. A steward must be expectant. That's what we see in this story. Verse 14, again, it'll be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. You know, we ought to expect God to say, all right, here's my stuff. I'm going to entrust it to you. Here's this new car. Here's this new job. Here's this beautiful little baby girl. Here's this home you live in. Here's the neighborhood. Here's your neighbors. Here's your school. Here's the kid who sits across the aisle from you. Here's all these things. I'm entrusting it to you. We ought to expect that. You know, when I grew up, my parents had some expectations for me. I am so grateful that I had parents who had expectations for me. They expected me to clean my room. And you know what happened when I didn't? I'm telling you, I hold the world's record on the number of bolo paddles that were broken over my backside. I am so grateful that I had a mama who knew how to use a paddle and a daddy who knew how to use a belt. I am so grateful. You know, the scripture says, spare the rod, spoil the child. Trust me, I was not spoiled. I thought my mama spanked me because she wanted to see me cry, so I refused to cry. So she spanked me harder. She'd break one paddle and she'd go get another one. It was amazing. My mom was awesome. I mean, her right arm, I mean, she's like, you know, because she was. I'm so grateful I had a mama like that. My parents had some standards. I'd go out somewhere as a teenager, son, remember who you are. They had some standards. You know, God has some standards for us. He's a heavenly Father. He loves us. He doesn't just want us to go out and do whatever. He has a plan. He has some expectations. Well, we need to expect responsibility. That's what this story tells us in verse 15. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. God's given us all stuff. He's given us responsibilities. He's given us spiritual gifts. He's given us financial resources, whatever it is. He's saying, I want to give you this stuff. So God, we should expect responsibility. We're his kids. Don't be shocked by that. But we should also expect accountability. There's going to come a day. Look what he says, verse 19. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. Let's not be shocked when one of these days in the future we're going to be standing before the Lord Jesus Christ giving an account of our lives. There's accountability. We don't like to talk about that. We don't want to think about that. We want to stick our heads in the sand and act like it's never going to happen, but it will happen. And if you've not given your life to Jesus and you're standing before Him, He's going to say, I don't know you. Depart from me for all of eternity. Don't be shocked by that. It's coming. You have the opportunity now to be a part of God's family. But you know, the Bible says even as Christians, we're going to stand before God. Now, I am so grateful my sin is not going to be judged. It was judged at the cross. Aren't you grateful for that? Because I'm telling you, I'd be headed to hell right now if it weren't for that. Thank God for the cross. But you know, my works are going to be judged. My motives are going to be judged. What I did with God's resources, that's going to be evaluated. Evaluations are tough. There's going to be a reckoning. There's an accountability, so we should expect that. But we should also expect consequences as stewards of God. I love this one, Luke 6:38. I know we'll talk about this another time, but give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Don't you love that? God said, when you give, I'm going to give back. Matter of fact, you're going to give a little, I'm going to give a lot, God says. You're going to do a little something, I'm just going to flat out bless your socks off. That's what the Greek says. Expect consequences. Like blessings, God does bless our life. Verse 21, whenever the master came back, the servant did well with the 5 bags. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Isn't that great? Good job. Come and share your master's happiness. He's saying, let's enjoy this intimate relationship we have together. That's what he's saying. It made me think about John chapter 14, verse 21. John 14, 21, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." You see what God is saying in that verse? When you obey me, you get to know me. Our relationship is intensified, and we enjoy that together. Come and let's enjoy fellowship together, God is saying. How about James 1:25? "Whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." What is that saying? It says, if we live life God's way, we will be blessed. There's going to be great blessing. There's going to be great joy in that. I'm not saying you're going to get rich. Trust me, I'm not saying that. Hey, Jesus wasn't rich. These guys who tell you that if you'll serve the Lord, you're going to be rich, and if you're not rich, it's because you're not serving the Lord, I'm telling you that is heresy from hell. It's not true. But I am saying that when you serve Jesus, man, there's so much blessing. There is so much blessing. One of the blessings is that we develop the character of Christ. God shapes our character, our lives, our insides. He shapes who we are. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit." So you're being transformed to be like Jesus. God is shaping your life. He's shaping your character, your nature, your being. You're more like Jesus today than you were yesterday as you follow Jesus. That's one of the great consequences of being a steward. You know another one? Financial stability. I want that in my life. You want that in your life. You want to be financially stable. If you want to be financially stable, then do it God's way. I say that's tough sometimes. Think about this principle, Job 22:21. "Submit to God and be at peace with him. In this way, prosperity will come to you." Be careful with that word prosperity, but prosperity will come to you. God is going to help you get it together. He's going to help you figure it out. Now consider the contrast between these two, the three different servants when the master came back. Two of them, he said, good and faithful, but the other one was wicked and lazy. You see, the unfaithful servant was evil, disloyal, and unloving. Here's what one writer said: "The servant's safe behavior and apparent desire did not displease the master, not to displease the master, were smoke screens for his self-serving and disobedient heart. In reality, he refused to take any risk or do any work. He did not spend himself in the kingdom's interest. He was selfish, lazy, and arrogant." See, if you just read that story, it's like, well, I mean, it wasn't so bad. I mean, he just buried it. No, the master was saying, you are not loyal to me. You are selfish. You are lazy. And see, there's consequences for that. And we don't like to think about these negative consequences. We want to think about the positive stuff. But God says, you know what? If you're not faithful, judgment day is coming. So one of the consequences would be judgment. Matthew 25:26-30, all of that, "you wicked, lazy servant," is what the scripture says. There's consequences, and we need to know that. If we're not faithful with the things of God, there is a day of accounting. The master is going to call us before him, and we need to understand that. But if we are faithful, what a privilege. What a privilege to know that I'm doing something today that makes a difference for eternity. I'm doing something that God's going to use to change somebody's life. How amazing is that? You ever thought about how cool that is? That I get to do something that changes somebody's life. I know I've told the story about my mother becoming a Christian a gazillion times, but I love telling it. We had a consultant here this weekend. I love telling him how our family tree changed. My mom did not grow up in a Christian home. Actually, her mother for a little while practiced witchcraft, so it was a rough place to grow up. Her dad left her when they were just little, and they were dirt poor. But you know why my mom became a Christian? It wasn't because of family influence. She didn't like the culture she grew up in. It was because, first, a church started a bus ministry and picked my mom up and took her to church. But my mom didn't know how to behave, nor did any of her friends who rode that bus. So the church stopped the bus ministry because the kids were troublemakers. But there was a Sunday school teacher that was heartbroken because the bus ministry was stopped. And there's this little girl named Betty Black that needed Jesus. And so this Sunday school teacher went to my mom's house, went into the home. That was back in the day when no one locked the door. Her mother, I'm sure, was asleep from the previous night's escapades. This Sunday school teacher went in and woke my mama up and got her dressed for church and took her to church. And she did that every Sunday for years. And this faithful woman, and I don't even know her name, led my mama to faith in Jesus. And her family tree changed. I don't know that Sunday school teacher's name. I don't even know what the church was. Probably a good thing, because I'd be mad because they stopped the bus ministry. But God knows. And that woman changed eternity because of what she did. It was just a little girl, a little snotty-nosed girl who didn't know how to behave in church. But this Sunday school teacher told her about Jesus, and it changed eternity. I'm just saying that when we are faithful stewards, we have an opportunity to make a difference in the world. God uses us to change the world, to change lives, to make a difference. It's all about stewardship. It really is. It's about being a faithful steward. We think of financial freedom as just having more money, but it's so much more than that. Financial freedom, it's about tithing. It's about giving money to the church. It's about building, you know, giving money to the building fund. No. It is about life. It is about kingdom generosity. It is about being involved with God and what he's doing in the world. So that's what I'm inviting all of us to say, let's get it together. I don't have it all together either. We're all working on this together. Let's get it together. And let's do the right thing. Let's figure out our finances. Let's get out of debt. Let's get on a budget. We'll talk about those things. But let's do all those things. And let's be a part of what God is doing in the world. We got to be understanding. You need to know those four things. God owns everything I have. God controls everything in my life. God meets every need that I have. And I'm a manager of all of God's resources. Being faithful, being submissive, being expectant. You know, being a good steward is really about faith. Years ago, I filed this little story in my file. I love this. It's written by Craig Larson. It's really about faith, but I just saw it connecting to being a good steward, trusting God. It says, a three-year-old felt secure in his father's arms as dad stood in the middle of the pool. But dad, for fun, began walking slowly toward the deep end, gently chanting, deeper and deeper and deeper. Shame on you, Dad. You know, what are you doing? Abusing your child. Deeper and deeper. As the water rose higher and higher on the child, the lad's face registered increasing degrees of panic and held all the more tightly to his father, who, of course, easily touched the bottom, right? Had the little boy been able to analyze his situation, he would have realized there was no reason for increased anxiety because the water's depth at any part of the pool was over his head. You get that? I mean, he would drown everywhere. Even in the shallowest part, had he not been held up, he would have drowned. His safety anywhere in the pool depended on dad. At various points in our lives, all of us feel we are getting out of our depth. Problems abound. A job is lost. Someone dies. Our temptation is to panic, for we fell. We've lost control. Yet as with the child in the pool, the truth is we've never been in control over the most valuable things of life. We've always been held up by the grace of God, our Father, that does not change. God is never out of his depth, and therefore we're as safe when we're going deeper as we have ever been. I love that. You're like, I don't know if I can tithe. I don't know if I can give an offering. I don't know if I can give to a building fund. I don't know if I can go on a mission trip. I don't have it all together. God does. Let's just do it God's way. Let's figure out what that is. Let's be obedient as stewards of Almighty God, and let's just serve him. God's never out of his depth. We're going to always be involved in what God is doing in the world. What an awesome privilege it is. So what do you think? Let's go for a swim. But I would rather go for a swim with my Heavenly Father. I can swim a little bit, but you know, after a while I get tired. But I love it when God holds me up. Let's stand together, please, and let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, what a privilege it is to be your children. What a privilege. Thank you for the invitation, for the command, really, to be stewards. You involve us in what you're doing in the world. What an honor. Now pray for us here. I'm sure there's someone here that's thinking about faith. They've considered crossing that line and surrendering to Jesus. And God, I pray today would be that day. Many of us are Christians, and it's so easy to get out of balance. It's easy to get things out of whack in our lives financially or otherwise, relationally. God, could today be the beginning of something new and fresh? To say, put me in, God. I'm all in. I want to do it your way. I got to figure it out. I mean, I've kind of made a mess of things. I got to figure this out, but I want to be all in. So speak to our hearts, and could today be the beginning of something really amazing as we just make the decision to follow you, to surrender all to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want us to sing together a final song, a closing song, and just an opportunity to be quiet before the Lord to make decisions or commitments or however you want to do it. If you want to come forward and share a prayer request with me or a decision you want me to share with the church family, or maybe you've been visiting our church for a while and you say, man, this is the place. God wants me here. I want to officially join. Or maybe you'd say, I am a Christian, but I've never been baptized. I want to be baptized. Come and we'll celebrate that, and we'll plan a baptism in a few weeks. So let's just sing together, and let's all respond as God calls.